Call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 2:50 p.m. Monday, April 2nd, 2018. Before we begin, I want to thank Christy Blair, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Eileen from the Juno LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phone. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Kopp, Representative Ledoux, my vice chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, and myself, Representative Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business this afternoon is House Bill 355, Fire, Forest Land, Crimes, Fire Prevention, sponsored by Representative Guttenberg. This is the third hearing of the bill in Judiciary Committee. To provide a brief recap of the last meeting on Monday, March 19, the committee considered amendments 1 through 3. Amendment number 1 was adopted. Amendments 2 and 3 failed. At this time, I would like to take up the remaining amendments to House Bill 355. But before we do, I'd like to put on record that Legislative Legal has permission to make any technical and conforming changes to the bill. As is the practice in this committee, the amendment process will be treated like floor amendments. The maker of the amendment moves the amendment and speaks to it with a three-minute time limit. Then we'll take questions, and questions will be limited to 1 minute per question. Then we will proceed to discussion with each member, limited to 3 minutes. Finally, the maker of the amendment will have 1 minute to wrap up. When we come to an amendment, the mover can either move the amendment or it will be withdrawn. We will not roll amendments to the back. We will begin with amendment number 4.
Mr. Chairman, question.
Representative Eastman.
So we had had some discussion on one of the earlier amendments, and we kind of put it off to the side till we could get a legal interpretation on the whole question of firefighters serving as police officers. I did get a memorandum back, and I assume the committee got one as well, but they did confirm, alleged legal, that this could potentially be an issue, and that no matter what the circumstance of contact, that due to an officer status as a police officer, that the requirement would kick in. So I wanted to bring that to the committee's attention. If anyone would like to see the memo, I have a copy here.
If you want to share something with the committee, you're certainly welcome to. Are you prepared to move amendment number 4?
And then was
amendment number 4. Are you moving amendment number 4?
Now, when we last left off, I think there was still open discussion on amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 was failed by a vote of 2 to 5. Amendment number 4? Or do you want to wait? Are you going to pass
amendment number 4 then?
What's that?
Move amendment number 4.
Okay. I'll object.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. So on page 3, lines 7 through 9, this is a short amendment. Turn there now. I'll read the amendment. The amendment states, fires or use burning devices without a permit as prescribed by the commissioner in regulation. I think that's matches the original intent and is a very reasonable statement laid out, and it also makes sure that the prohibition is not overbroad, which is the main concern for putting forth the amendment in the first place.
Is there a representative of the department here? We're both online. Okay. Actually, Mr. Mesh is online. Representative Guttenberg, did you want to be heard on this, or did you want to hear from the department?
Mr. Mesh is here, and
Mr. King is here. That's okay. Mr. Mesh, I believe you're the person that's best available to speak to the amendment number 4 and the department's position on amendment number 4.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Chris Mesh, Director of the Division of Forestry and State Forester. We would oppose amendment number 4. The reason we would oppose that amendment is right now this would curb our authorities, our existing authorities. It's very important for us to have a rather broad definition here because there are a lot of reasons fires can be set that may not be covered by burning devices, and I'll give you a couple quick examples. Timber harvest activities. During timber harvest, fires can be set. One example was a hot saw, which is a big saw on a piece of heavy equipment, hit a rock, caused a spark, started the fire. That's not defined as a burning device, but it is setting a fire. ATVs with hot mufflers and dry grass is another example, and lawnmowers in the urban interface also sparking rocks with their blade. It would limit the ability for people to report those types of fires with this amendment.
Representative Ledoux.
So if you violate Section 7, are you subject to criminal liability?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, it depends on the circumstances, but you could potentially be cited if it was viewed as a negligent act under current law.
So
it would be a violation.
Thank you. So my concern would be where there's actual criminal liability. That phrase, or conduct other activities or use land, seems to be somewhat broad. And I understand where you're going, and you cited some examples. But I guess I feel a lot more comfortable if you really thought long and hard about this and put those examples actually into Section 7, because I think before somebody is guilty of a crime, there actually should be something specific that says what you can't do.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Ledoux, to answer your question, it would be very difficult for us to anticipate all the potential reasons or uses of land that might cause a fire. You'd be quite surprised at the types of things that can occur. We actually had a compost pile start a fire a few years ago, which was the first in Alaska. So it would basically be impossible for us to anticipate all those things and list them. Just because someone is charged also doesn't mean their due process rights are not in place to have a fair and impartial hearing on a charge.
Follow-up, Representative Ledoux.
Well, they might have procedural safeguards after they're charged, but there's not something in place that tells them exactly what they can and cannot do. And I'm just saying that that just sort of bothers me.
Mr. Mache.
Yes, through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I think a lot of this is common sense during fire season of what you can and can't do. You need to think of your actions and the potential consequences. And so, again, I'll go back to the education piece of this statute. And what we're trying to do here is educate the public to safe burning practices. All of our statutes and regulations are structured toward that kind of a safe burning program, and educating them to basically being fire-wise during fire season. It's also specifically listed in our current statutes under 4115.070. There are some specific examples given about lighted tobacco, cigars, cigarettes, matches, firecrackers, or other burning material. So other burning materials are fairly generic and open-ended definition. But a lot of it is just common sense.
Representative Eastman, this is usually a place for questions, and you're the maker of the amendment. Do you have a question for Mr. Mache?
I do.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mache, through the chair. So you started off and gave us testimony a moment ago that this is already authority that the department has, but as I'm looking at Section 7, it says that Section 7 is added as a new subsection. So if the authority is already elsewhere, why do we need this new subsection?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I would have to look at the subsection ordering. I'm not sure if the subsection changed because of previous changes of the section or not, but this section does exist already, and it's being amended to make it more, actually the subsection B is added to make it very clear about what types of activities, and which is general, I'll admit to that, can cause a situation to exist that we need them to report a fire when it occurs. And it's really about reporting and public safety. And if you have a fire that you start on your property by accident and don't report it promptly, there can be some pretty serious consequences for neighbors, including loss of homes and other business infrastructure, which unfortunately has happened several times here in Alaska. It's all about reporting a fire when it starts.
I have a follow-up.
Representative Eastman.
Through the chair again. So now the language that you're proposing here is increases fire danger. And I'm trying to figure out what that means. Now, you gave examples, you know, sparks and exhaust and those kind of things, or you might actually be starting a fire. But does increases fire danger, does that mean that a fire is started, or what exactly does that mean?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, increasing fire danger is simply an action or activity during the wrong time, say during red flag warnings, and I would use the example of timber harvest. Typically, timber harvest operations will shut down. They call it a hoot owl shift in the west, if you're familiar with that term. But they stop their logging activities because the danger is so high that it's likely their activities could spark a fire. So that's increased fire danger. So it's the type of activity you're doing. Another example would be agricultural burning. You want to burn when it's safe to burn, not when there's an increased danger from burning.
And follow-up?
Representative Eastman.
And so, you know, the example you just gave was during a red flag warning, you know, most likely during a fire season. Wouldn't you want to put that in there as a sideboard or some kind of limitation? Because what I see now is increases fire danger whenever, you know, even if there's, you know, negative 30 degrees and snow on the ground, the language you're proposing here seems to catch everybody at all times, whether there's red flag warnings or fire season or just somebody is, you know, taking the snow off of their property, and by virtue of moving snow on their property, they're potentially increasing fire danger.
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, this provision is during the legal fire season. April 1st is when it starts through the end of August.
And follow-up, where do we find that?
Representative Eastman, I'll give you one last follow-up.
So, and how do we know that this fire season?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, it represents, it actually mentions that without a permit, as prescribed by the regulations. And the permits are required. I'm looking at the section here. It's 4115060.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer my question.
Representative Eastman, he's answered as best he can. Is any further discussion of amendment number four?
I have one question for the.
Go ahead, Representative Kopp.
And Mr. Chairman, who is this person?
This is Chris May. She's the director of the Division of Forestry and is the state forester based in Fairbanks.
Okay. Mr. May, thank you for being with us, sir. I have a question for you. The language as currently written in the bill draft, is this consistent with what the commissioner can do now through their authority? I'm looking at 4115050, where it says the commissioner may proclaim additional periods of time depending on weather, what's going on, that prohibit or allows only by permit setting a fire, smoking, entry, or other use on the land when in the judgment of the commissioner the activities would unduly increase fire danger. I'm trying to distinguish what 4115050 is as different from 4115060. How is this all different?
Yes, so again, through the chair, Representative Kopp, the section you're referring to, 4115050, sets the fire season and the other conditions you reference. How it differs from the proposed addition is that it's, this subsection is making it clear that a person needs to report a fire for whatever reason or for whatever cause it occurs. And it's making it clear that that is the case in this subsection B under the new proposed amendment. And that a permit is required also at the same time you're undertaking any of those activities.
Thank you.
Any further discussion of amendment number four? And Representative Eastman, you've got 1 minute for a wrap-up.
Yes. So as I looked at this and discussed with others, Mr. Mace is asking us to take a whole lot on faith as to how this will be interpreted and applied by our government. And I see here that the language before us doesn't put the limitations that I think any of us would find reasonable. There's a requirement that in order to use your land, even your own land, in any way that might increase fire danger, you have to get a permit to do it. And I think that is unrealistic and excessive on the part of government to require that of Alaskans. And I don't believe it supports the purposes intended.
Thank you, Representative Christ Tompkins. Is the objection maintained?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You could call the roll as amendment number four.
Yes.
Yay. Representative Reinsman. Representative Cott?
Yes.
Yay. Representative Stutes?
No.
Nay. Representative Ledoux?
Yes.
Yay. Representative Price Tompkins?
No.
Nay. Chair Clayman?
No.
Nay. That's three yays, three nays.
So by a vote of 3-3, amendment number four has failed. That brings us next to amendment number five. Representative Eastman.
I move amendment number five.
Actually, let's take a brief at ease. We're back on record, and we're after three, and I know Representative Christ Tompkins told me that he's got conflicts after three. I know Representative Stutes is needed in Labor and Commerce, so we're going to recess for the afternoon. We will return as scheduled previously, to return at 7 p.m. tonight, where we will continue amendments to House Bill 355. On Wednesday, we'll hear House Bill 387, AG Controlled Substances, sponsored by my office, and House Bill 367, Native Corporation Liability for Contamination, sponsored by Representative Millett. If anyone is interested in offering an amendment to House Bill 387 or House Bill 367, please let my office know and submit them electronically by 4 p.m. on Tuesday. We will stand adjourned. It is now 3:08 p.m.